Welcome to the Chandler Seventh-day Adventist Church, where Shane Davis is our pastor. Let's join our service already in progress.
Whereas we Christians we are using a word that was adopted and adapted from the Nordics, pagan god, Goss and Gott. Germans today are still using G-O-T-T for God, Gott. We adopted a pagan name for the Creator. I'm not splitting hair. I'm just telling you that some of our arguments with Muslims that have simply linguistic basis, not theological, linguistics. The word that we're using for from the Creator, God, G-O-D, we have adopted it from the pagan Nordics, whereas Muslims are using the biblical name of God. And we're pointing the fingers at him. Most issues that we deal with have to do with linguistics, and I will come to the Trinity. But one of the things to keep in mind, you go to any Muslim anywhere in the world, ask him, who is Allah? And he will describe, or she will describe, the Eternal One, no beginning, no end, the Almighty One, the All-Loving One. None of the descriptions of Allah that a Muslim will give you will contradict the descriptions of the God of the Bible. Why? Because they come from that tradition. In fact, they have more precedent in this tradition than what we do. Okay? So one of the things for us to remember, the word in Arabic, Allah, comes from Aramaic, comes from the root of Abrahamic language, because the Bible says Abraham was a Chaldean from the country of Ur. Chaldeans were the Assyrians from Ur. What they spoke, that language, is basically the brother or the cousin of Hebrew and the brother of Arabic. So these come from the Shemitic or Shema or Semitic languages. This is how it's pronounced. And when you go from the roots, you realize, no, they're pronouncing it the right way. Their God is Abrahamic God. Our God, you see where linguistics come into the picture? Things that have been linguistic, we have given them theological looks, theological, you know, garb. For instance, do we have any Spanish speakers here? You speak Spanish. What is the word for God in Spanish? Dios, right? You know where that came from? Zeus. Zeus. I'm into languages. I have to be into languages. And some of these are basically linguistics. And we have given them theological, you know, content. All right. Let me go on to the next section. Hey, you guys want to learn the greetings? I'm pretty sure some of you do. Why don't we learn the greeting for the Muslims? Next time you come across a Muslim, read their greeting. You say the greetings, you will always bring a smile on the face of a Muslim. Can you say assalam? As-salam. Alaikum. Assalamu alaikum. Means peace be upon you. And the Muslim will always return your greeting in a reverse. He will say, or she will say, alaikum assalam. If you're not sure which one to say, always be the first one to greet. Okay? Always be the first one. Tell me the greeting. Assalam alaikum. You know what is it in Hebrew? Shalom alechem. You see how close it is? You see where it came from? You see that? All right, let me go on. We brought Moses the book. Moses' name is mentioned 98 times in the Quran. Jesus' name is mentioned 31, in some cases 25 to 34 times in the Quran. Depends on the translation. Muhammad's name, 3 times. But it's always in parentheses. So it's not even there. Okay? The Quran mentions more of the prophets, mentions more of Moses and Jesus. And look at what the Quran says about the writing of Moses. We brought Moses the book, complete for him who does good, an explanation of everything, a guidance and mercy so that they might believe in a meeting with their Lord. The Quran says what Moses brought to the world, it explains everything. No one can take away from it. No one can add to it. What say you? The Quran says Moses' book is complete and it explains everything. What do you say?
Amen.
All right? So isn't this interesting? The Quran says whatever Moses wrote explains everything. Can an Adventist use this to build a bridge with a Muslim?
Yeah.
Can you share the plan of salvation with Moses?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Okay? Pastor Ingram was helping us last night in the story of Eden, right? Can you explain the law to a Muslim through Moses? Can you explain the coming of the Messiah through writings of Moses? How many books did Moses write? Technically five. Many scholars believe Job is his work, and I truly believe, but he also wrote 10 of the Psalms. So what happens when a Muslim reads the writings of Moses? What will he discover? The creation, the fall, plan of redemption, the law, the sanctuary, the prophets, right? The Quran says God's word cannot change, will not change because God is watching over it. Where do we come into the picture? When a Muslim says, oh, the Bible is corrupt, don't give me a Bible. What are you supposed to say? What are you supposed to say in response? The Quran says, no, it won't change. No, it won't be altered. If you insist Christians have changed the Quran, that means Christians are more powerful than Allah. And no Muslim will ever concede to that. So you better read the Bible according to the Quran. Look at the next passage. We preferred some prophets above others. We brought David a Zabur. Everybody knows David, right? Zabur is the Arabic word for the Psalms. So this passage says, Psalms and the writer of Psalms is a preferred prophet for Muslims. Now, add Psalms to the list of the books that Muslims have to read. What will they discover if they read Psalms? And this is the question that I'm addressing to you, my sister. If a Muslim reads Psalms, will they discover the divinity of Christ? Yes or no? Absolutely. The Lord said to my Lord, sit on my right hand side. He will not let your servant want to decay. All this is from the Psalms, right? Without a single word of argument. Adventists are not here to argue, to debate, or to reinvent the wheel. Adventists are here to facilitate the journey of a Muslim back to their book. Now, why do I say back to their book? Because Muslims have the same syndrome as Christians. They don't read their book. We did the statistics to the best we could. Between 9 and 11% of Muslims read the Quran, their holy book. 90% don't. You know what is the percentage in Christianity? Just the same. 90% of Christians do not read the Bible. Is it any wonder why we are enemies? Is it any wonder? The Quran is sacred to the Muslims. They die for the Quran. They kill for the Quran some, but they just don't read the Quran. An average Adventist has how many Bibles in their home? Are you ready for this? 9. An average Adventist has 9 copies of the Bible in their home. I would prefer to have 1, but read it, not to have 9 and not read it at all. Look at the next passage. We, God, made Isa. Isa is the Arabic word for Jesus. Isa, son of Maryam. Who's Maryam? Mary. Follow them, meaning follow the prophets. A confirmer of the Torah in his possession. Did Jesus confirm the Torah? We brought him the Injil. What is the Injil? Hey, your Arabic is improving, man. In which, meaning in the Gospels, in the Injil, is guidance and light, confirming the Torah in his possession and guidance and sermon to the pious. This is written to Muslims. This is not written for Christians. But you would swear it's like the Bible verse, right? It is telling Muslims to live a pious life. You know what's another word for pious life in the mind of so many Muslims? Radical. If you want to live a Salafi, Wahhabi, pure Muslim life, you better read the writings of the Injil. But the Injil has been corrupted. What is your answer? What is your answer? The Quran says it won't be corrupted. It cannot be corrupted because God is watching over it. And what we have quoted so far, what we have read, it's all been from the Quran. I haven't quoted anything from the Bible in this section. Has this been strange to you? How many of you find this strange? How many of you feel at home? You see? Because it's talking a language that we're familiar with. God is speaking to Muhammad. We inspired you just as we inspired Noah, Abraham, Ishmael, Isaac, Jacob, Jesus, Job, Jonah, Aaron, Solomon, David. Man, that's like the entire Bible. Those we sent before you, meaning all these prophets, were men to whom we inspired. That means whatever they wrote, you must read, you must obey, and you must practice. So ask the people of the Book of Remembrance. The Book of Remembrance in general refers to the Book of Deuteronomy. Okay? But that's that, because the nature of Deuteronomy was what? To remind people. The second time, right? And Muslims know that, so they call it the Book of Remembrance. And look at what it says. If you don't know the clear signs and the Psalms, this and what we have discovered so far, has the Quran honor the Bible or does it dishonor the Bible? Does it honor the prophets of the Bible or does it dishonor them? Does it question the inspiration of the scriptures? You know how many prophets Islam has in the Quran? 25. 24 are from the Bible. What percentage is that? 96% of the prophets of Islam are your prophets. And this is the list. This is the English, this is the Arabic, and this is the Spanish pronunciation. I'll read the list and I will ask you a question. These are the prophets of Islam. Adam, Enoch, Noah, Heber, Methuselah, Abraham, Lot, Ishmael, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Job, Jethro, Moses, Aaron, Ezekiel, David, Solomon, Elias, Elisha, Jonah, Zechariah, John the Baptist, Jesus. If I stop there, what religion am I describing? One more, Muhammad, what have you done? We've thrown out the baby with the bathwater. No. Wait a minute. 96% of the prophets of Islam. Can you work with 96%?
Yeah.
What have we done? Inadvertently, I have to admit, many of us did not know. We have rejected Islam because of the 4%. Whereas we have had 96% right under our noses, but we did not know. Does the Quran honor the prophets of the Bible? Yes or no? Let's see what the Quran says about Jesus. This is the list of beliefs of the Quran about Jesus on this column. These are the verses and the chapters. S means chapter, surah. So this is chapter 2, verse 87. Chapter 19, verse 34. Chapter 3, verse 45. And these are the corresponding verses from the New Testament supporting this belief. Okay? So whatever they believe is going to be scriptural. Okay? I'm going to read the list and I'll ask you a question. This is what the Quran says about Jesus. Jesus is the son of Mary. He is the Messiah, servant of God, prophet, apostle of God, word of God, word of truth, spirit of God, a witness, mercy from God, sign for all people. He is great. He is righteous, meaning without sin. He is holy. He is blessed. He gives life. He did miracles, was led by the Holy Spirit, born of a virgin, guides people to truth, healed people, raised the dead, would die for unbelievers, resurrected from the dead, ascended into heaven, is coming again. Which one of these points do you argue with? Which one of these points the Bible argues with? Okay, I have a question. Do they know enough about Jesus to experience salvation? Yes or no? Yes. Then why don't they? Because they need the people of the... Now you know where you come from. Now you know why you're here. Now you know where we fit in the picture. They will listen only to people. And who are the people of the book? Not everyone who reads the book qualifies. What is the qualification? They obey God. They talk about the end times. Has anybody talked more about end times than the Seventh-day Adventist Church? If God says, thou shall, they do. If he says, thou shall not, they don't. For which we are being criticized by the rest of Christianity, right? Being called legalist, being called whatever, right? Yet those are qualifications. Those are unique traits that God has ingrained, has worked into the structure of the Adventist movement so that 1.7 billion Muslims can never reject because you qualify to that unique group that they are told to talk to. No one have I ever seen to this day, God is my witness, no Muslim has ever argued with me when it has come to this. No Muslim, including that imam, and there's a couple other imams. Back in July, I was in Berean Church in Atlanta. Some of you might know the Berean Church. It's a very large African-American church. Pastor Russell, Kenny Russell. In the afternoon, I did a presentation. There was a very large size congregation there. In a large churches, I don't know who's who. And most people don't know who's who, right? Because you don't know where those flyers that we print and you guys have it, we don't know where it ends up. During the question and answer time, I was at about this point, maybe a little further. During question and answer, people, there were microphones on the front of the church and people will come to the microphone and ask the question. One thing I know, a Muslim imam, a Muslim man with his attire, he got out of the audience, he came to the microphone. And people were little uneasy. They had never seen a Muslim imam in their church. And I praise God that they saw one. He came to the microphone. He said, I don't have a question. I have a statement. Whatever you have just shared is the exact truth from the Quran. Muslims have to hear what this church has to say. He says, I had no idea what I was going to hear in this church. He came up to me, he grabbed me, and we kissed three times like the Middle Eastern thing. And people started clapping and all this stuff. One thing went through my mind. How did he know about this program? This was like complete, you know, impromptu. No one knew it. After the program, I went to Pastor Russell. I said, how long have you known this man? He says, my brother, I've never seen him. I said, how did he know about this program here? He says, I have no idea. Turns out the imam had brought guests with him to our presentation. We found out that the flyer that the church had put out, one of them had ended up in their mosque in Atlanta. The man said, I'm just sorry I didn't make the first half of your program. Whatever I heard corresponds with the Quran, and I compliment you for what you're sharing with this audience. So, has God uniquely positioned this church? They will listen if they trust. And they will trust when they see that you are living according to the word. Satan has deluded their minds with tradition and rhetoric and politics and the war and all this to not trust the Quran. But the Quran, it's to not trust the Bible, but the Quran itself says the Bible is trustworthy. In fact, you pay attention to it or else you will deal with God's vengeance. You saw the passage. Okay? All right? Up to this point, any questions? Yes, question. Can we get a mic? Thanks, Jeff. Right here. Okay, we'll come to you.
So,
before you ask your question,
I don't even know how to formulate it.
Does the Quran, I've asked this, but I'll ask it again. Does the Quran honor the Bible? Yes or no?
Yes.
Does the Quran honor the inspiration of the prophets of the Bible?
Yes.
Does the Quran honor Jesus?
Yes.
Where do you come into this? You are not here to reinvent. You are here to facilitate the journey of a Muslim to their own book that leads to the Bible.
Amen.
Will you be there to help them?
Yes.
Just by seeing what you are seeing on the screen today, we have seen in over 12 countries. I thought it was 16, but one of my coworkers said it's 12. We have seen over 274 or 75,000 Muslims come to faith in Jesus, observing the Sabbath day, waiting for his return, based on the passages you've seen on the screen today. Let me give you another one. I can't give too much detail. November 2005, about a little over 2 years, almost 12 years ago, in the country of Saudi Arabia, that's all I will say. A Saudi Wahhabi businessman. Wahhab is the same dynasty that gave birth to Osama bin Laden. A Wahhabi businessman is on his way to the noon prayer. An extremely wealthy and extremely influential businessman. On his way to the noon prayer. I'll skip the details. It's a very dramatic event. Angel Gabriel appears to this man with one message. There's a lot of back and forth. Again, I will spare you all that because if I went through the whole thing, I'll be here for another half hour. The angel, before he parts from this man, Angel Gabriel, I know what goes through your minds. Yeah, right, Angel Gabriel, right. Bear with me. Repeats one phrase to this man, and I'm translating it. He said, the angel kept repeating, do not harm those who keep the commandments of God and have the faith of Isa al-Masih, Jesus the Christ. Do not harm those who keep the commandments of God and have the faith of Isa al-Masih, Jesus Christ. Kept repeating, and he says the fire disappeared. He said, for about almost a week or so, I was in a daze. What was this? Couldn't understand what is going on. He said, I kept praying. I kept seeking God. What was this incident? What is this? What could this mean? And all that. He said, I began to be convinced that I have to get myself a Bible in Arabic. Notice how the Spirit works. When the Holy Spirit works, it will lead him in the right direction. He says, but I cannot risk reading the Bible on the internet because the internet, everything I do can be traced. I don't want to download the application. Everything can be. Saudi Arabia is the biggest user, downloader of YouTube. 120 million on an average day. It is the highest user of YouTube. He says, I didn't want to risk any of this. So he smuggles a Bible in Arabic into Saudi Arabia. Paid over $6,800 for one copy of the Bible in Arabic. He says, I got the Bible, I unwrapped it, frantically started going through the Bible looking for some pages. What am I looking for? something that would resemble what the angel had said. The commandments of God, Esau, faith of Esau HaMessiah, Jesus the Christ. I'm going through it and he couldn't find it. Where does it say in the Bible, here's the faith of the saints, the patience of the saints? Revelation 14, at the end of the book, right? He doesn't know. So he says, I started from the beginning of the book. He says, I scoured the whole Bible. By the time I found that phrase, I had already come to faith in Jesus. I was already observing the Sabbath day. And he says, I was already dictating it to 800 of my employees, do not come to work on Saturday. That's 12 years ago. Today, by God's grace, you and I have over 15,000 underground Muslim believers in Christ observing the Sabbath day holy, waiting for his return in Saudi Arabia because of this man. Paul could not have been reached had it not been for Jesus himself appearing to him. In some cases, he makes a personal cameo appearance. And in this case, this Muslim, devout, extremely wealthy, influential businessman is visited by Angel Gabriel, and we have 15,000. Now, here's one thing unique about this. They're not called Seventh-day Adventists. In fact, they had never known about Adventists up until, from what I understand, 4 or 5 years ago. They had never known that there is a group by the name Seventh-day Adventist. And this taught me one thing. God is not impressed by titles. You know, you're an SDA, come into my kingdom. You're a Baptist, stay out. Episcopalian, stay out. Baptist, Seventh-day, come on in. Come on. Don't fool ourselves. That's a false sense of security that Israelites can, you know, that's what they committed. Let's not commit the same mistake. The message, the character is what God is looking for. And he will make sure that the whole world hears it. He wants his church to be in step with what he is doing. That was a long, excuse me, before your question. So go ahead.
Thank you. And first, thank you for the work you do. This is not the church I come to. And I showed up at this church today because of the kids having the adventurous activity. And I am so grateful. My eyes have been opened up and my brain is also like scattered.
Praise God.
But I'm just kind of confused in many ways because they have all this information about Jesus and the plan of salvation and Jesus is coming and they hear that. But then what is it, where's the disconnect? What is it that, you know, they don't believe it all the way?
I gave you the first element of disconnect. What is it? They don't read their book. Now, which leads to the second point. Thank you for the question. One of the contributing reasons why they don't read their book is because over 80% of Muslims around the world do not come from Arabic-speaking background. They are told you got to do everything in Arabic or else God won't listen. Does that sound familiar? Did we go through such a period, Doc? You either do in Latin or you burn at the stake. Satan is using the same old tactic. Deprive them of their book, you got them in your clutches. They helped us when we were going through the Protestant Reformation. We need to help them when they're going through the Reformation right now. So one of the things is, they don't read Arabic. And as a result, it suffices it that they will only rely on what they know, what they were taught, and what they mimic, and what they repeat. Just like Jews today. Shema, O Israel, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad, Bechol Avach, Behafta El Adonai Bechol Levecha, Ofshon Nafshecha, Ofshon Meodecha. They do all this gyration. Can I tell you a story about that? A month ago, I came back from Russia. Our flight had a stop in Poland. So I had a 6-hour stop in Poland. I am dead tired. I was doing a week-long presentation and training in Moscow, our seminary. I'm in Poland, and I'm sitting in the airport, and I'm just in a daze. I haven't been able to sleep. You know, you're coming back, and you're in the middle of Europe. You don't know day, night, whatever. One thing I know, On the other side of, you know, this hallway, you know, waiting for all these terminals, I saw maybe 20 Hasidic Jews with the big hat, with the tassels. They stood up and they said, they started doing this, and people are like, you know, they're trying to pretend they're on cell phone, and they're kind of, I am dead tired, right? I'm just leaning on my chair. Something told me, you have to stop here for a reason. I want you to go to witness to them. And I'm like, I'm tired, man. My back hurts. My head hurts. And all. And they're going through all this. And so I said, you know, I'm here for a reason. I wasn't planning to stop in Poland. They finished their prayer. One of the guys was smoking a pipe. To give you an idea, those electric, you know, whatever, electronic cigarettes, right? Talk about contradiction, right? But I said, okay, I want to see the head honcho in this group. They're all rabbis. I want to see the head honcho. So I looked and looked, and I finally pinpointed a guy. So I went, grabbed my luggage, and I went and sat on their side. And I noticed that they're getting ready for their flight. So I walked up to the rabbi that I had kind of pinpointed, targeted. I approached him. I said, you know, do you speak Hebrew? I said, do you speak English? He says, yeah, I'm from New York. I said, you're going to Los Angeles? I'm going to Los Angeles. No, he says, we're going to Tel Aviv. I said, okay. So there's three rabbis standing next to him. I got close to him. I said, none of this is going to buy you salvation. I was where you are. But I started reading the Tanakh, the Torah, the Tehillim. I found out Mashiach of Nazarim, he is the Messiah. He's the Mashiach of Israel. The Nazarim, Yeshua, I'm speaking in their context that they can understand. The Nazarim, the Nazarene, Yeshua, he is the Messiah of Israel. This gyration is not going to do you anything. Get back to the scriptures. One of the rabbis heard what I was saying. So they're pulling him, you know, let's go running. So he doesn't know what to say. You know, he's kind of got off guard. In Poland, a guy is trying to witness to me in a Polish Jewish airport, right? I said, this, maybe you won't hear this again, but I want you to think. Jesus is the Messiah. Yeshua HaNazarim is the Messiah. He is the meaning of Judaism. Without him, you have no religion. That's it. Okay, go. God bless you. So he left. Same thing with Islam. This is what happened to me. You remember the mosque I said this morning that the Dr. Jihad Turk, he came up to me and he says, it's only you guys that do what this Bible says. Remember? During lunchtime, I was sitting across the table from an Indonesian diplomat, a she. Very elegant looking, speaking. I mean, she was a classy lady. So we started talking as we were eating lunch. The issue was five-time prayer a day. I'm a little cocky, I gotta admit. I'm a little cocky. So I kind of worked it up in my head, and then I started spurting, you know, some of these questions. I said, you're on a plane every day, because that's what she said. She says, I'm on a plane almost every day. I said, then, how do you pray five times a day? She kind of chuckled, and she said, I don't pray five times a day. Wow. Three times maximum. Wow. I said, okay. What language do you pray? She said, Arabic, of course. I said, do you understand Arabic? Just then, the Turkish gentleman sitting next to us was overhearing our conversation. He came to the rescue. He was a Muslim from Turkey. He came to the rescue. He kind of budged his, you know, stuck his head in between her and I. And she said, and he said, my sister, you're supposed to speak Arabic. It's our language. From his accent, I can tell you he didn't speak a lick of Arabic himself, you know. He said, you're supposed to understand. It's this is how we communicate with God. And this Indonesian diplomat, she got ticked off. She got, like, uneasy. She kind of pulled the chair back. She put her leg on it. And she said, What? You want me to learn a new language now? I'm 56 years of age. I don't need to understand Arabic. God does. I don't need to understand Arabic. Thank you. Thank you. This is what is happening in Islam. Tradition, tradition, tradition. What do they need? This is, in my humble opinion, God's providence to put His footprints in the religion of Islam, that those footprints can only be filled by the Advent movement. That's it. They are not going to listen to anybody that eats pork and wants to talk to them about Jesus. But they will listen to someone who doesn't defile themselves and wants to talk about Jesus. Okay? I have a question for you. I have a question for you. From scale of 1 to 10, your confusion, you said it's all like new and all that. How much is it clear now?
I want to know
okay.
how to approach the...
Okay.
I had an experience a while back with my children. I go to an activity and there are very rarely I see Muslim females. I think they don't interact much. And
sure,
in fact,
sure.
they didn't interact. They would yeah. sit at a separate table. Mm-hmm. At one point, I hear them talking, and I was so surprised that I could understand words. I was understanding some of those words. Mm. And, you know, trying to make them feel comfortable as well, because they were there, but most of them were uh-huh. Hispanic ladies mm-hmm. At the center. And I said, you know what? Hi, Lala. I can understand some of those words. And then it dawned on me that Spain had an influence of
Absolutely.
Arab for so many years.
That's it.
And that's how we connected somehow.
Wow. Wow.
And we started a conversation. Had I known things like these, I mean, it almost brings me
there
to tears.
There was no stopping you.
Who cares about my language?
That's
God
it.
Was more important.
That's
like,
it.
I could have just dropped the seed right there. And, you know, I haven't seen them in a while now. So it's like, you know, so much I can do.
That's it. That's all I'm here for.
Yeah.
As I have mentioned from this morning, to equip you. Everything I shared will stay in this church. All my files will be in your computer. There's going to be a lot of things that I don't get to cover in these files. They're going to be on the computer. All you have to do is give Jeff or Pastor Shane a thumb drop. I'm not comfortable in printing. Some of you ask, do I have handouts? I'm not comfortable. And I'm pretty sure by now you know why. The whole point is, a lot of this has to be understood. A lot of this has to be ingrained. So, but what I will do as an appreciation, I will leave the files in the church computer whenever you can, if you are interested, to equip yourself further, to take it home and read it over, find the passages. A lot of people say, do you recommend us to read the Quran? My answer is absolutely. As long as you promise one thing. I know where you're going. As long as you promise one thing. For every page of the Quran, you read 15 pages of the Bible. Why do I say that? Why do I say that? Because God's people need to be equipped to understand the little thing that they are going to find in the Quran, how to make sense of it, how to connect it, and how to work with it.
Thank you.
I have a question before you answer, you question
Sorry,
your question.
You didn't ask me, yeah.
I go with Grace, and then we'll go with your sister. As you know, this morning I mentioned about the realities of this ministry and the work that we do. And as you remember, we raised the funds to do this work. We are not on payroll with the union or NAD. We have been blessed and endorsed by these entities to do the work by raising the funds. So many of you were generous and courteous this morning to help us out. I'm wondering if our deacons, one deacon or two, if we can help in distributing some more envelopes. Take an envelope if you think that this ministry needs support. Some of you might have helped this morning, or you might think that this is an education that I wanted and an appreciation. We want to help out. Any size offering will be greatly appreciated. Do you think I can ask to distribute envelopes one more time among you? As they're doing it, I'll go to the piano and play special music on the piano. Then I'll answer two questions, and then I will share with you the last part, which is about 10 to 15 minutes. That's it. Can we get some deacons out? Can some deacons help us out? I didn't give you a chance. This morning?
No.
Oh, no. Well, hold on. I will give you the chance. You will be the first. You will be the first. Thank you.
Well, actually, to make the best use of time, while you're doing it, while you're distributing, let me take the questions.
Good. Sure.
Okay. Take care of you.
Drive safe. Yes, sister.
Yes. I have never read the Quran.
Never, so, or you have read?
I haven't.
Okay.
So I want to know from, was led by the Holy Spirit. I don't know what the Quran says about that. Write it down to the end. And where the sanctuary, where they embrace the sanctuary.
Okay. See, my sister, if it had all that, they will be Christians like us. And I wouldn't be here, we wouldn't have this discussion. It's an Abrahamic faith, but it's not a Christian faith. But it has so much in common with Christianity. It has so much in common with the Bible. The whole point is, we want to see exactly what we believe. We want to see it in that system in order for us to accept it. This is, in my opinion, a very disservice to God's cause. They don't come from Christian background, but they know Jesus. They don't come from biblical standpoint, but they know Bible. Our job is not to go and say, how come you don't believe in the Trinity? And I will address that in a minute. How come you don't believe in the divinity of Christ? Therefore, no. But let me ask you a question. If a religion says, if the Bible says Jesus is without sin, what do we say? We say amen, right?
Yeah.
The Quran says Jesus is righteous, meaning without sin. Ma'sum in Arabic. What do you say?
Amen.
When the Bible says Jesus is without sin, he was tempted like all, but he is without sin. Who has inspired the writer to write that?
God.
The Holy Spirit, right? So would we consider that statement inspired?
Yes.
Yes. If the Quran says Jesus is without sin, is that statement inspired, yes or no?
The Quran says so?
Yeah, notice. Jesus is righteous. Jesus is holy. Jesus was filled, was born of a virgin. If the Bible says...
Does the Quran say that Jesus was born of a virgin? Of a virgin through the Holy Spirit?
There it is.
I don't know. I haven't seen the Quran there.
No, it's up there.
It's right here. Notice where I have the pointer on?
That is what you put on your chart, but I don't know if that is in the Quran.
This is the verse from the Quran. This is it. Chapter 3, verse 47. Chapter 19, verse 20 and 21. You gotta trust me.
No, man. You trust no man.
Okay. You see, when I have the verse up there, this is why I do what I do. Every evidence is on the screen, so you don't have to guess. You don't have to take my word for it. You can check it out yourself. That is why I don't have absolutely any problem taking snapshots, because I want you to have everything that I share. I wanted to leave it here so you can go and authenticate. Any other question?
Right here.
Yes.
This,
and then I'll come to you.
Is probably... to me or to anybody else might be stupid, but why, if the Jews kept the Sabbath, or as far as Abraham's son kept the Sabbath, why didn't Hagar's son keep the Sabbath? Which is, I mean, aren't they that close that they would? What do they keep? Do they keep the Sabbath also?
Here's a very scriptural response to you. Muslims gather on the Friday. But Friday is not a holy day for them. It's a day of gathering. It's called Jum'ah, meaning gathering. Okay? They gather, they go to the mosque, they do their prayer, they listen to a message, and they go back to work. Okay? So they don't have a holy day. The tradition of Friday had been in place over 1,000 years before Jesus. So that's 1700 years before Muhammad. Okay? Arabs, Nabataean Arabs in the northern part of Saudi Arabia which were the settlements of Ishmaelites and Midianites, they had kept the tradition of Friday gathering. They would, it was Mecca, Medina were trading routes. People will come, do bartering, do trade, sit down, eat, drink tea, share some stories, and they would disperse until next Friday. In general, Islam, being founded by Muhammad, had a very, very bitter experience with Jews. Jews began to conspire against him, even though they had pretty much aligned themselves with him, but they betrayed him, and at two points, they wanted to assassinate him. Muhammad and his followers had a fallout with the Jews from the very earlier on. But Muslims knew Sunday is a pagan day. They wanted to have nothing to do with it. Isn't this fascinating? The church, with all its treasure of words and the message and the scriptures, still debates. We're still debating. Is it the Lord's Day? Is it not the Lord's Day? Is Sunday the Lord's Day? Are we in grace? Are we not in grace? And all this stuff. Muslims from the very beginning saw through it. We want to have nothing to do with Sunday. Okay? But they are still in the pale of orthodoxy. What is the day of preparation in the Bible? Friday. They could have switched through the centuries. They could have switched to Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. But they stayed with Friday. Okay? The whole point is, they had a historical fallout with Judaism. However, the Quran has a story. You want to hear a story? This is what it says. I want you to understand context. Let's see how context works in this. The Quran talks about a village that is by the lake. All the inhabitants, those who live in this village, it's a Jewish village. They're all Jews. And the profession of all the men in the village, they're all fishermen. But they have a dilemma. The fish in the lake come on the shore only on Sabbath day. So they're faced with this dilemma. For years, they fight the temptation. Go fish, it's a Sabbath, no fish. So they had to go barter, they had to go work, they had to go like agriculture and all that. They couldn't fish. So after a long time, one of the fishermen convinces the others and says, let's go fish on the Sabbath. So they go fish on the Sabbath. God says, then if that's the case, it is better for you to be apes than human beings. Some of us are like, what? What? Context. All right, let me explain to you with today's language. What is Sabbath more than anything about? What does it commemorate? Creation, right? Creation says you came from the hand of God, right? What is the most ardent enemy of creation today? Which says you came from the? Catch my drift? It is better for them to be apes. This is 1,400 years ago. 1,200 years before there was Charles Darwin. Do they know about this? See the context? See how it works? In the Quran, yeah. In the Quran. There are passages. This is this part I share in the second level of training, not in the first level. In the second level of training, I share that the Quran says, God is telling Muhammad, he says, those who follow truth, I will always respect. And he turns to Jesus. God tells Jesus, your followers will be the superior and the supreme of all believers until the day of judgment. They will be superiors and supreme above all believers. He is telling Jesus that your followers are more superior than anybody else. This is the Quran. But I will share it in the second level. For the first level, notice some of you are like, what? This can't be right. This can't be true. What? I thought they were the enemies. Yes, if you look too much TV. I was in one of the churches. One of the sisters, a dear sister in the church, she got furious with me. She said, how do you dare tell our people anything good about these people? These are satanic. These are evil. These are antichrist. And everybody's going, and all that, right? And Don't you see those savageries, how they behead people? I said, my sister, where did you see the beheading? On some of those video clips on Google. I said, what business do you have watching those videos? I said, let me ask you a question. Why did you have to watch those videos? Well, I want to see I want to hear the truth. I want to know the truth. And you're not telling us the truth. I said, okay. I said, does the beheading and the savagery bother you? Yes. I said, okay. When was the last time you read the book of Joshua? She's like, why? Tells me. She doesn't know anything what I was talking about. I pull out, I said, Joshua commands his soldiers, cut the bodies of those five Canaanite kings into 12 pieces and put a piece of their body in a UPS package and send it to all the leaders of Israel. I said, if you got one of those packages today and you opened up, would you join my church? Would you come and sing hallelujah to this God? I said, is the savagery bothering you? 2 years ago, I think, Google did an app comparing the levels of violence between the Quran and the Bible. The Bible won by 75%. For many factors. It is longer. It covers a longer span of time. Yeah, all those factors in. But in comparison, it has 75% more violence in it. So I told the sister, and I'm sharing with you, when we want to start an evangelistic series, right? Do we start with the book of Joshua? Do we start with 2 Samuel? Do we start with 1 Kings? Why not? Ah, you're not being truthful. You're not being truthful. Why not? It's easy to write off people from our lives. It's easy to just ignore them. He or she did this to me, treated like this, that, and all. I'm writing you off from my life, right? Is it difficult to write people off from our lives? No, you park on this side, I'll park on the other side, right? But it takes courage to see redemptive attributes in people. God wants courage from his church. Let me finish with one question, and I'll answer your question at the end. Grace, your question.
Go ahead, and the lady can go ahead of me.
You sure?
Sure.
But you had your hand up for like 38 minutes. Okay. Because I stay at her home, so she knows she can ask the question.
Are you
later.
Sure?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm really glad we came. One thing that I'm trying to picture in my mind is what the end game would look like with the Muslims. For instance, the story that you told, if the pastor goes and speaks with the Muslims, are we going to see Muslims becoming SDAs? Are we going to see Muslims just staying in their mosque but keeping the Sabbath and worshiping
Jesus? Based on this very brief
Jesus,
exposure that you have to what I've shared, what do you think?
I would hope it would be staying in their mosque and worshiping Jesus and keeping the Sabbath is what I would hope for.
Thank you. You know what? A Muslim can be extremely, extremely useful for the master if he allows him to use him in the context that he's most familiar with and people can relate to him. What I've shared with you are incredible things that God has done before us. Before we were even around, God has left his footprints all over this religion. You see, in my humble opinion, what has kept us from courageously reaching out to the Muslim community is that we are very set in our ways. One of the leaders in NAD one time asked me, he said, my brother, when do we consider these people as SDA? Notice these are his exact words. What really bothered me is the fact that he's calling them these people. Number two, when do we call them SDA, right? I know where he's going to, so I kind of played it and I said, could you kind of explore that a bit further? He said, yeah. When do we have their names in our books? When do we collect tithe, you know, and all this? I said, Pastor so-and-so, I said, if you mean those books that say 1,200 members and only 80 show up on a Sabbath day, I said, if you're talking about those books, I really don't insist on for their names to end up in that book. I really care more for their name to end up in his book. You see what I'm saying? So the question, and I'm pretty sure you're getting the idea, we need to, first of all, facilitate the journey for a Muslim to find his way to the scriptures, to the Bible, by extracting him from his community, from his culture, from his surrounding, and from this massive religion. In my humble opinion, will do nothing but injustice to everybody. To everybody. What we have seen, when the Lord is appearing to them in visions and dreams, and some of these accounts are so vivid, but that tells me one thing. Muslims know him exactly the way we know him, and they have not believed in him, they have not worshipped him, they have not known anything about him other than what they know here. But for the most part, you will not hear this stuff about Jesus in the mosques. You won't hear it. Just the way you won't hear certain portions of the entire Old Testament in Jewish mosques. How many of you have attended Jewish mosque worships? In many cases, they won't read passages from Isaiah. For instance, Jews believe that Isaiah is basically one real Isaiah, one pseudo Isaiah. The passages that are pertaining to Jesus so vividly, they call it the pseudo Isaiah. Yes, there are portions of Daniel they won't read in the scripture, in the synagogues. So here's what happens. When the people are deprived from their scriptures, do you think they'll be convicted to come to Christ? No. Our job is not to argue. Our job is not to reinvent methods. Our job as the people of the book is to do things by the book. And how do you do things by the book? First of all, we have to get back to our own book. Second, be equipped and lead them to their own book, which leads to this book, which leads to eternal life. You see what I'm saying? So the people of the book need to do things by the book. There's a reason why we are called the people of the book. You know, I was not listening to this. One friend said, I was driving on the 101 freeway. 101 freeway is a very proverbial freeway. It's everything but free, you know? It's a slavery driving on that freeway. It's incredible. He says, I was stuck in the freeway. I was channel surfing, and he says, I came across a talk show. And the host of the show was a Catholic priest, a very jolly, fun-loving. The guy was just really happy all around. He says, and the program was people were calling in with different questions. You know, people were calling in about, christening their, granddaughter and all this stuff. He said, one guy called from Boston. He says, I'm stuck on the freeway and I'm just listening. And this Catholic individual calls from Boston. He said, Father, I forgot what his name is. He says, Father, I'm a Catholic, I'm in such and such diocese in Boston. I've been reading the Bible. He says, I turned this on. I said, this got to be an interesting thing to hear. He says, I've been reading the Bible, and I have some questions. Uh-oh. He said, he began his question from transubstantiation and the Immaculate Conception. He says, the guy was adamant. He was not letting up, and the priest couldn't deal with him. He says, the Catholic Church, he says, but Father, this is the Bible. If the Bible is God's word, then which is true? Tell me which is true. And he's going at it. He says, these guys are going at it. And finally, the priest said, listen, my friend, you want to take the Bible literal? There's a church down the street in from our studios. It's called the Seventh-day Adventist Church. Why don't you go join this church? Next caller. He says, went to next caller. You hear it from the horse's mouth, right there. Question. Any more questions?
Yeah. Sure. I've seen a lot of videos on YouTube of Muslims seeing visions, and they end up joining Sunday-keeping churches and believing in an eternally burning hell. Yeah. What about all that?
Here's the point. This is what makes our job even more difficult. This is why I insist God's people who have been entrusted with this message, we need to be apparent, we need to be visible to this community. Because if we think Satan will not be using miracles, he would not be using visions and dreams, we're fooling ourselves, right? The point that we're trying to make here is this. God is using every agency, male, female, heavenly, earthly, to save as much as possible, as many as possible, because that day of reckoning, according to Islam and the Bible, is coming. You see, what keeps Islam intact, in my humble opinion, is its simple beliefs. One belief is there's one God. I put those passages on the screen. And the coming day of judgment. According to them, a Muslim has to always live in the shadow of the day of judgment to stay a true Muslim. Does that bring peace? Does that bring solitude? Does that bring nothing? Assurance? None. The Adventist message, the three angels' message, because I am on both fronts, both in the Christian and the Muslim front, here's what I can share with you. The three angels' message, in my humble opinion, is the Adventists' means in reaching the Muslim community around the world. The first angel's message, honor God, fear Him, worship the Creator, resonates 300% with Muslims. The second message, get out of confusion in Babylon, resonates with Muslims. They're going through their, I've explained through you all this. Can this message really be, speak to the heart of a Muslim? Absolutely. Muslims are extremely spiritual people. They keep religion very simple. Their religion, Islam, is very simple. We have complicated things. What exactly do you mean faith in Jesus? What exactly do you mean observing the law? What is the law? What part of the law? Well, if it's Sabbath, then can we... And then we have another tendency, we Adventists. When we are engaged with someone and we want to share the message... Many of us, correct me if I'm wrong, many of us have this tendency to bring the whole story from Adam and Eve all the way to 666 in one sitting. And we want to dump it on them and we want a decision right now. Huh? Am I right? You know? In this case, I'm sorry, it doesn't work. From this morning, I have been very systematic in what I say and what I share. Unless we do it the Master's way, unless we do it the Lord's way, it's not going to work. Everything I've shared here is useless unless we want to do it the Lord's way. The Lord Jesus, first and foremost, mingled with the people. Now, some of you might be very easy for you. Some of you might say, this is impossible for me. With God,
all things are possible.
But here's the point. They have to know that a believer, a lover of God, loves them, irrespective of their religion, irrespective of their beliefs. They have to see this in us. Jesus didn't say, by this they shall know your disciples. If you prove them wrong and you go, yippee-yay. No. By this they shall know you're my disciples. If you love them, then you minister to them any way you can. Can they minister to you? Muslims have saved my life in the past. Let me ask you a question. How many of you have ever been to Jerusalem? If you go to Jerusalem, Jerusalem is made up of three areas. Jewish sector, Christian sector, and Muslim sector. Actually, there is no atheist sector, so you got to believe in one of them. So, you know how you can tell you're in a Christian sector? Billboards. Alcohol. Supermarkets. Budweiser. Miller. You know how you can tell you're in a Muslim quarter? You don't see any of that. You don't see any of that. Now, you're an Adventist, and you've been given an assignment to live in Jerusalem. Which quarter would you like to live as an Adventist? Where would you prefer to live? So, mingle, minister, build trust relationships. Unless people trust you, then I don't care if they're Islam or the Jehovah's Witnesses or the Roman Catholics or the, unless people trust you, meaning you and your word are one and the same. Otherwise, we cannot expect them to follow.
Thank you for worshiping with us today. On behalf of Pastor Shane Davis and our entire church family, we would like to invite you to any of our services. We are located at 1188 West Galveston Road in Chandler, Arizona, 85224. Wednesday night prayer service is at 7 p.m. Saturday morning study starts at 9 a.m. and Saturday worship hour starts at 11 a.m. You can also visit our website to find out other events and activities at our church at www.chandler.adventistfaith.org. Once again, that's www.chandler.adventistfaith.org. Have a blessed day.